What's up, Atlanta? How's everybody doing? It's a rare Friday with Turtle. And oh, just one finger tonight. But tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, you ready for this, Oren? Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 4.5 hours with Turtle on a college football playoff Saturday afternoon. So tomorrow, get ready to give me a call at 404-726-0929. I'm going to tease tomorrow's topic today, and then we'll get in to today's topic. Because I do want to talk to you about something specifically on both of those days. Tomorrow, I need to have a conversation with y'all about Kyle Pitts. Because I've been looking at the numbers. I've been looking at the roster. And I've been looking at what's out there in free agency and the draft. And I know a lot of y'all are about to cringe, and I'm cringing too, but looking at the harsh reality of the situation, there is a world where it actually makes sense to franchise tag Kyle Pitts. So we'll get into that in a deep dive tomorrow. I'll give you all my reasons why I think it actually might make sense, even though it's not something I would do. The Falcons' hand may be kind of forced, both by his play and just the lack of stuff that could be out there that wouldn't be astronomically expensive. So we'll get into that tomorrow. So put your thinking caps on. And again, I'll have 4.5 full hours all Saturday afternoon, noon to 4:30, to talk about that, to talk about the college football playoffs, the bowl games, the Hawks, everything else. We'll get into everything tomorrow. Got all afternoon to spread our legs out, relax, put our hands behind our heads, pour a beer, and just talk sports for 4.5 hours tomorrow. But tonight, I only have less than an hour now. Guys, gals, Falcons Nation, friends, constituents, my peers, my family. Have you actually, because it's been such a whirlwind and such a roller coaster, and I did this, I had a long day of travel, and I was thinking about the state of the Falcons, and I was sitting in the back of an Uber in Atlanta traffic. You know, I had a podcast on, but even that really wasn't holding my attention, and my mind just started to wander, and you can give me a call at 404-726-0929. How many things are up in the air for the Atlanta Falcons right now? If you stop and think about it, it's actually crazy. And again, we talked about Terry Fontenot earlier this week. We're going to talk about Kyle Pitts tomorrow. So we've really done a good job here on the show, and I've had such good calls all season long from you guys and tweets at C Thomas Radio. Hit me up there if you can't get through on the phones. Chat all things Atlanta sports. About individual issues going on with the team, whether it's been the quarterback, the coordinators, the coaching, the injuries, whatever it is. We've all done a really good job honing in on those specific things. But what really threw me for a loop today, as I was sitting in traffic in the back of that Uber, thinking about what I wanted to talk to y'all tonight with the limited time that I do have about. It's actually crazy when you think about the overall state of this team and how many question marks there are. Let's just rattle them off, right? Head coach, question mark. Offensive coordinator, question mark. Special teams coordinator, question mark. QB1, question mark. QB2, question mark. Wide receiver two, question mark. Wide receiver 3, question mark. Tight end 1, question mark. Cornerback 2, question mark. You starting to catch my drift here? Nose tackle, question mark. Backup linebacker, question mark. I mean, y'all, it's actually crazy. I did not foresee, this many question marks for the Atlanta Falcons this late into a season that was filled with promise. Right? I mean, really, it's actually a little bit mind-numbing. When you did the exercise that I did this afternoon in an Uber fighting Atlanta traffic to make my way back to Midtown. The Atlanta Falcons have so many questions. And here's my question to you. It's a two-parter. What is your level of frustration? So if you just want to vent about those question marks, let's just vent. Let's just talk about it. And then more specifically, what is your level of concern? How concerned are you that this team is actually, because of all of those question marks, maybe not able to turn it around quickly? We talked about it before, probably about a month ago. I asked a poll question. I said, what is this team closer to, a rebuild or a contender? And we got a good conversation and we got a mixed bag of results. And now, looking at it with the end of the season on the line and everything that I just listed, all of those question marks for the team, what is your level of concern about the potential to try to fill all of those question marks in the offseason? Some of them will happen naturally through the draft and free agency, coaching changes, different philosophies coming in. But some of it is going to be a grind. Again, for example, and again, we're going to get into this in depth tomorrow, and I'm going to take a bunch of your calls on this. If you let go of Kyle Pitts, there is nary a tight end within grasp to play at next year. Not on this roster. Sorry. They do not have anybody to speak of. Charlie Warner's a blocking tight end. And then, how do you say his name, Oren? Quatariano? Something along those lines. I mean, he's not anywhere near a starting caliber.
Felipe Franks? End.
Stop, Oren. You mean special team ace and wildcat slash tush-push quarterback Felipe Franks? Yeah, no, I'm good. There's no tight end to speak of. So how do you replace it? And that opens up a whole nother set of questions. So 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I mean, it's actually crazy. Again, when you stop and think about all of these question marks surrounding the team, the ones that I just listed, it's too long of a list to repeat, but you catch my drift about where this team is right now and just how many holes there could potentially be to fill that you're trying to patch in one off season. I've often used the word spackling. Does this roster just need a spackle? Just, you know, a couple of smooth overs, a couple of holes to fill, a couple of cracks to blend in, a couple of key pieces. Or if 75, 80% of those question marks that I listed to you remain the status quo as we hit free agency and the draft, and you're looking around going, whoa, we got 6, 7 positions here. No, I didn't do that on purpose. That was an accident. I'm sorry. And Oren did the obligatory thing, so now we move on. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, when I was sitting in the back of this Uber, looking at the state of the Falcons, going over each position, going over the coaching staff, going over the draft capital, going over who might be out there in free agency, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Whoa, this team has so many questions going into 2026. 404-726-0929. We'll take a call or two here, and then we will have Will McFadden on to give us the latest, some key injury updates, and take more of your calls as well. Our buddy Yo in Atlanta checks in. Yo, what's going on?
We got 6 or 7 issues. 6, 7.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I love it, brother. But you know what? We do have a core nucleus, and the question becomes, how many people want to break that core nucleus up? And unfortunately, we've been ragging on Kyle for so long that everybody thinks that he's an issue, when he's not. We have other problems on this team, and we have been spackling them over. We have had a hodgepodge of players come through our town over the last 4 or 5 years because of the salary cap issues that are prevalent on this team, because we have an aging roster in certain places that are very expensive players. So I know that I want to go after Quay Walker, who will be a free agent this year coming out of the Green Bay Packers organization. He could replace Caden Ellis. Caden Ellis is 30 and he's been great, but a $8 million 30-year-old Caden Ellis is not the same as a $15 million Caden Ellis at 31, when you could probably re-sign somebody like Quay for a lower cap hit. And you have to start looking at what is actually in front of us. We had this conversation a few days ago when I said, we are getting the same amount, if not as good as McGarry, but an equal amount of production out of a $1 million right tackle. You have to go ahead and start cutting some of these players, not cutting them, trading them, getting assets in return. If you don't start doing it now, you're never going to start doing it. And if you don't let Terry and Raheem do it, the next iteration of this will do it. Bill Belichick was famous for getting rid of a player 1 year too early as opposed to 1 year too late, and the Falcons suck at it. Love you, Turtle.
Appreciate it, yo. Yeah, man, I think, you know, I love Quay Walker, but Oren, you know, was saying in my ear, like, it's going to be tough to pry him out of Green Bay's hands. Like, that's a really good player in a DGD. But I like the idea. CJ, what do you got, CJ?
Yo, man, I'm a first-time caller on your show, multiple time caller on the station. Man, but I'm frustrated to the max, because as long as I've been a Falcons fan, man, this is just horrible. Especially in recent years, we don't have one without the other. And honestly, man, we have a good nucleus. That coaching staff got to go. Terry, you need to hit it on the home run park and get us a coach. Honestly. I understand what Kyle Pitts and what he's doing and how he's trajectory. And if he can't come back on a good number, then he got to go.
Yeah, man. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in for the first time. Call back anytime. Yeah, we're going to get into this in depth tomorrow. The Pitts discussion is so fascinating. That's why I wanted to save it for when we have much more time to expand upon it. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. And Will McFadden's going to stop by as well. Zipping through a one-hour shorty show. The state of the Falcons, when you really look at it, whoa, hit me like a ton of bricks today in the back of an Uber stuck in traffic. There are a lot of potential holes on this team, and how frustrated and concerned does that make you for 2026? We'll do all that before we wrap up and hand it over to Hawks basketball on 92.9 The Game. If you are on hold, stay there. We'll get to your calls in less than 10 minutes from now. Talking about the overall state of the team, I was sitting in the back of an Uber today, and I was just like, wow, there are so many questions. And I went through them all, and I listed them all in the first segment surrounding this team right now. How frustrated does that make you? How concerned does that make you? We'll talk about it with you in just a few minutes, but we wanted to check in with our buddy Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, hanging out with you until Hawks basketball. Will, got some good news, obviously, about Drake London. It looks like he's expected to try and give it a go on Sunday, but let's talk about fair expectations, because I don't know if it's fair to expect him to come back after missing all that time and resume his usual role of, you know, 15 targets with 12 catches for a 120 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's completely fair, Chris. And I honestly kind of think we'll get an answer to that particular question fairly early in the game. The way that Kyle Pitts has kind of gotten some looks early in each first quarter, whether that's the first or the second drive for Atlanta, kind of has dictated like how his rhythm has gone. And I think that given how his usage has evolved a little bit in Drake London's absence, I would expect Atlanta to kind of have some of those same routes in mind for Drake London if they feel good enough to ultimately have him suit up on Sunday afternoon out there in Arizona. But there's no doubt that his presence would be huge for Atlanta. The biggest question, of course, right, is okay, he's back off of injury, feels good to suit up, and in this league, that definitely means something. But is a Drake London who sustained a PCL injury several weeks ago the same as the Drake London before that injury, given his like physical style of play and jump ball nature? I think that's important to see, but I feel like we will see that for better or worse in that first quarter.
Speaking of Kyle Pitts, I think if you polled 1,000 Falcons fans before the season, 950 of them would have came back and said they don't see a path forward for Kyle Pitts to return next year. But Will, if he keeps playing the way that he's playing right now, and there's no clear backup option on this team, and there's not a robust market out there, and you have very limited draft capital, it might actually make sense to franchise tag him.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that given all of the, if all the parameters, right, that you just laid out there hold true, and given his very unique style of football, right, like he is second in the league right now. He's tied with Travis Kelce in receiving yards by a tight end. You know, like that alone, if you'd told anybody, I think coming into the season, they'd be like, all right, let's go Kyle Pitts, right? Like finally, that's what we have been expecting from him. And yeah, ultimately you kind of have gotten to a point where that franchise tag, because he is starting to show the flashes, and more than flashes, he's shown flashes. He has started to show the consistency to be a main option in the passing game. Now that value starts to creep towards, okay, like if he's a 1B option, now we're talking, and now that franchise tag for a tight end specifically may be a value. So yeah, these last three games are big and important for a lot of players, but Kyle Pitts might be right up there at the top of the list.
We found out today that Kadarius Hodge is going to be placed on injured reserve. Another sort of strange set of circumstances for a Falcons playmaker. It seems odd to me, Will, just because I know in the past Kadarius's been such a key force on special teams and has even made some huge game-winning plays as a wide receiver. So it's just such unfortunate news to see today that his season's going to come to a close prematurely, and that it looks like there may have been some issues going on in terms of what the coaches were seeing from him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for weeks the Falcons have been saying, look, like we have to look into special teams, figure that out. Obviously, Kadarius Hodge has been a key core special teamer for the Falcons for a couple years now, and last year he was selected to the Pro Bowl as a special teamer. So, like, that is the importance of the role. But when you have a unit that has had the performance Atlanta special teams have had this year, the coaching staff does, I think, look at some of the leadership for that group. I know Mike Ford is a player that the coaching staff has a lot of respect for as a special teams kind of like leader in that room and for that unit. So maybe this was simply a matter of Kadarius Hodge kind of like not performing up to expectation, and the shoulder injury, which ultimately landed him on injured reserve. It could certainly have played a role in that, right? Like anytime, as we just mentioned with Drake London, that you're out there playing and maybe you're not physically 100%, it can show for certain players. So I don't want to speculate exactly why his performance on the field, right, and the unit as a whole may not be up to the standard, but it makes sense now that he is ultimately going on IR with a shoulder injury. And it is a shame because I think he had high expectations coming into this year. And obviously the coaching staff, the fans did as well.
Another guy that had high expectations being brought back was Mike Hughes. He's missing this one. Is it going to be Kobe Bryant again? And if so, how much do you think he's able to absorb and learn from the action he took from last week and apply it to what would be a start?
Yeah, I would expect Kobe Bryant definitely to get a lot of usage out there for sure. It is a shame that Mike Hughes is going to be missing this one because, you know, the Cardinals like to throw the ball a good bit out there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Atlanta matches up with this offense, particularly with Marvin Harrison Jr. also being questionable for this game, right? We've seen what Michael Wilson can do in his absence, which is pretty much play like the understudy role of a number one wide receiver. He has been really dynamic and just getting fed the ball all day long by Jacoby Brissett. So I would expect that if Kobe Bryant is out there, obviously teams are going to rather throw at an undrafted rookie than a player who is, even though he's not made a Pro Bowl, in my eyes, a Pro Bowl caliber corner in A.J. Terrell. So I would expect them to say, hey, look, it worked for the Bucks at times when they went right after Kobe Bryant. We're going to kind of do the same thing until they can prove that they can stop it. But the Falcons, I think, did a good job of adjusting in the second half of that game. Dee Alford's interception comes to mind. Like, that was a great read and play by him. But I think there was some understanding of where they needed to be on the field, especially against the Mike Evans. So they'll have a plan in place. I think Jeff Ulbrich will have a plan, and certainly being able to prepare is different than having to go out there in the middle of a game when an injury that is unexpected occurs. So it'll be interesting. I hope it's Kobe Bryant out there. I that's kind of what I'm thinking it will be. So let's see what he can do. Even though there were moments for Mike Evans, I know Kobe Bryant has all the attitude and swagger in the world, and I didn't feel like his confidence was shaken at any point in that game. So let's give him a second round. Let's see what he can do.
Talking all things Falcons with our good buddy Will McFadden. Make sure you check out his work at AtlantaFalcons.com. We also learned this week that two guys that I think this was expected but now official, Braylon Trice and Troy Anderson, will not return at any point in the remaining three games. Let me ask you this question. With the success and the growth of the defense this year under Jeff Ulbrich, do you think that there could be a window for those guys to return to the squad next year with Jeff Ulbrich showing that he can take talent and make the most of it? Or do you feel like the injury history for those guys is starting to mount to a point where that's now in question?
Yeah, I mean, I think the injury history is something that they're going to have to consider with a few players, right? And certainly when you have somebody like Troy Anderson in particular, who is kind of like the ultimate man, when he's healthy, you see exactly the potential and caliber of player he can be, right? Like there's a reason he is kind of always popped right back up in the starting lineup anytime he has been healthy. It's just because the dude is such a rare athlete. However, when you are dealing with the level of injuries that he has had, that is kind of where, all right, are you still that same athlete, and can you be that athlete now at a dependable level for the future? Keeping in mind, too, that he's going to hit free agency kind of after this year, so you don't know where he falls in the plans. I kind of think it depends a little bit on his athleticism and where that kind of is. But when he's been out there, he's been incredible. It's a real shame that his last time out there on the field, he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Like that's the last we saw of Troy Anderson. With Braylon Trice, it's also a little bit of a mystery because he was drafted for, I think, a few different reasons. Obviously, he was a two-time captain at the University of Washington. So he's got some of those leadership traits that obviously the Falcons were attracted to in Jalen Walker. So it'd be great to kind of have those guys out there. And of course, Braylon Trice is still going to be on his rookie deal. So they kind of will have the benefit and the luxury of being a bit more patient with him. And when he was out there in that first training camp, his rookie year, like it was legit. It seemed really good. So if he is able to come back, and given the way that Nate Oley's defensive line is utilizing a rotation, if that stays in place, I like Braylon Trice's chances of coming back and at least playing a role next year, again, with the big, big caveat that everything checks out medically, and I don't have any insider information on any of that for you.
Before I let you go, do you expect the young pass rush to continue to feast against Jacoby Brissett, who is not exactly going to burn you in the backfield with his legs?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing for the Cardinals to try to do is get the ball out quickly, which they've done pretty well this season. They're kind of like in among the top 10 offenses when you look at a lot of the like quick passing metrics. So that'll be really the key, is how do you maybe jam or press some of these receivers, throw off some of that early timing to get home quickly, because you're right, Jacoby Brissett is not Kyler Murray. However, the Cardinals have had a lot of success moving the ball through the air since he's been the starting quarterback for Arizona. It's going to be a real cat and mouse game of, do you drop back into coverage and really take away some of these throws and rely on your front four, which Ulbrich and Raheem Morris want to do, and you're starting to see them do it a little bit more? Or is Caden Ellis going to get back there? Jesse Bates going to get back there? Again, I think we'll know the answer to that pretty early on, but I've also liked Atlanta's ability to adjust when they have seen things not work early on. I'm trying to think back to, you know, like Baker Mayfield, Drake May, some of these games where the quarterback has scrambled on them early. They've kind of adjusted well, I think, and taken some of those lanes away. So it'll be interesting to see on both sides, Drake May or Drake London, his involvement early, and the Falcons, whether they're blitzing or whether they're playing a coverage heavy approach on defense. That's what I'll be watching in the first quarter.
Will, great stuff. Appreciate you as always. We'll chat soon. Enjoy the game.
Of course, Chris, anytime. Have a great weekend.
All right, that is our good buddy there, Will McFadden. We'll finish up with your calls, 404-726-0929. All these holes for the Falcons to fill in the offseason and all the potential change going on with the coaching staff and key positions, quarterback one, quarterback two, head coach, OC, special teams, the list goes on and on and on. Just taking a big picture look tonight. How concerned are you about it, and how frustrated are you about it? We'll finish up with your calls, 404-726-0929. Appreciate Will McFadden stopping by, giving us all the scoop and the skinny, what to expect for Sunday's game. I think the pass rush is going to have a field day. Jacoby Brissett, he can move a little bit, but not much. He can't keep up with James Pierce, Jalen Walker, and the rest of the crew, Caden Ellis, coming after them. So I think, believe it or not, Oren, what I'm about to say is true. Your second-place sack total Atlanta Falcons are going to come strong and come heavy against the Cardinals on Sunday.
Just sounds so weird considering where we are right now.
It sounds so, right. The sort of split screen perspective of what the sack number total is, which is the dripping in irony of that's the thing the defense has been needing for so long. And then the fact that in the clutch moments, it's been one of the worst defenses in the NFL all season long. And obviously, you know, the tried and true of giving up huge games to the guys that you couldn't give up huge games to over and over and over again this season. Bryce Young, Tua, CMC, Jonathan Taylor, just time and time again, the one guy on each team that you needed to stop just absolutely explodes for monstrous days. It's mind-boggling. But the question tonight and the topic we've been talking about tonight, and I appreciate everybody who called in the first segment, got a couple more minutes here to take your calls if you want to get in. Again, if you missed it, I was coming back to Midtown to get ready for the show, and I was thinking, and my mind just sort of started to wander, and I was just thinking about the Falcons and the whole state of the team, and I was like, man, you know, is Raheem going to be back? Is Terry Fontenot going to be back? Is Zach Robinson going to be back? Marquise Williams going to be back? Who's quarterback one? Who's quarterback two? And on and on and on and on and on and on I went. And I was like, man, the amount of question marks for this team right now is actually bonkers if you think about it. The amount of coaching, player, management decisions that need to be made for this team about who's going to be here and who's not going to be here for 2026 and beyond is crazy. Right now, you don't have a backup or a starting quarterback in line because all intents and purposes point to Kirk Cousins not being here next year. I don't see a planet to live on where the Falcons eat a $57 million cap hit when they can cut him and save half that pre-June 1st. Like, why in the world? I know he's playing well right now, but you're going to pay Kirk Cousins And then what do you do when Michael Penix is healthy? Oren, what do you do if Michael Penix Jr. gets healthy by week six, but Kirk Cousins has you 4-2, and he's been great?
And then I tell you what, who's sitting for a while, then yeah.
And you can't do that, can you? That can't be the plan. You already reverse switched that, flip it up, and reversed it once. You can do that again? And basically, we got to remember, too, at the time Michael Penix Jr. went down, his confidence was, oof. I mean, you could see it. You could hear it in the press conferences. And that's, that's just one thing. That's just the quarterback position. What about the coaches? You have Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, Marquise Williams, maybe even Jeff Ulbrich, as we just said. He's got some flashy stats, but again, if you told me they moved on at the end of the year, I wouldn't blink an eye or bat an eye, whatever the expression is, at that. No way. I'm good. Like, yeah, they got some sacks. Okay, great. But look at the rest of the defense. Look at the rest of the production. And most importantly, Oren, look at the record. You're 5-9, and the defense has been just as much to blame as anything else. It's been a total and collective failure. So how disappointing is it? How frustrating is it? How concerning is it that this is where we are with the general state of the Falcons right now? It's hard not to be frustrated and concerned, right? If you're a fan, you're thinking, man, I didn't realize that this team was so far up the creek. Now, as one of our callers, one of our regulars, Yo, mentioned in the first segment, we still do have some pieces, right? Obviously, Drake, Bijan, Lindstrom, Matthews, you know, all the rookies on defense that we mentioned. Like, there are foundational pieces here. But outside of that, there are question marks out the yin-yang. Linebacker, depth needed, nose tackle needed, CB2 needed, nickel needed until Bowman gets healthy. Remember, he tore his, what was it, Achilles or an ACL? Achilles, one of those two. He's going to be out for a while. You going to bring D'Alford back? Okay. I mean, is that enough? Like, there are just so many questions on this team and so many situations that are going to need to be dealt with in the offseason for the Atlanta Falcons. Again, it just, I was sitting there stuck in traffic and my mind just started to wander and I was just like, man, this is crazy. Thanks to Big O. Thanks to Will McFadden, our guest. Thanks to everybody who called. And thanks to everybody who tweeted me at C Thomas Radio. Again, 4.5 hours with y'all tomorrow. So we're going to talk about Kyle Pitts, and I'm going to make the case why it may actually make sense for him to get franchise tagged and come back. Let's go, Hawks. Enjoy the game. Next.
Night, 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 night,